are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. It is June 10th, 2021, and on today's show, we discuss the Oklahoma Sooners, who are your 2021 national champions in softball, and then we discuss playoff expansion and its imminence, because it is coming. There's a news conference going on, actually, as I'm recording this podcast, about it. But it's imminent. We are seeing it coming. We'll discuss what it means and more. Everyone wants to talk playoff expansion, but first, we've got to talk softball. This is the more important story of the day. The Oklahoma Sooners are your 2021 national champions in the world of softball. In game three today, they took out Florida State 5-1 to become the champs. It is the fifth national championship for Patty Gasso and the Oklahoma Sooners. So congratulations to them. It is another championship for our conference on this podcast. We always do love to see that. And for Oklahoma, you know, they did not make it easy on themselves. In that first game, you know, and not just Oklahoma, it was Odyssey Alexander as well. She contributed to it, but we broke down Oklahoma's run to get here. So I really don't want to completely rehash it, but losing that game, right? Losing that game. And if it goes before that, losing that first game to Oklahoma State in that series that they played them in gave them a chance to potentially win the Big 12. And Oklahoma fought back and won it in Oklahoma, in Stillwater, right? On the road, they win the championship. Then in the College World Series, they lose their first game and immediately get sent into the elimination bracket, and they win and, you know, just keep winning repeatedly, get themselves into the championship game by way of beating James Madison twice, who they already had to, they already lost to, and then losing to Florida State in the first game and then having to come back and win another two games. So Oklahoma, I mean, their season, you know, especially their late season, was filled with drama. And for a team that only lost two games heading into the NCAA tournament, and heading into the College World Series, Women's College World Series, they lost two games all season. They lost two in the span of a week, but it did not matter. They battled back, and they are national champions. It is so well-deserved. Your player of the tournament is actually not somebody from the lineup. It was Gisele Juarez. G. Juarez was fantastic. She did not pitch the first game of the Women's College World Series against JMU, but ever since then, she was really relied on. 31 in the third innings pitched, 16 hits allowed, 38 Ks, 4 earned runs, a .89 ERA for Gisele Juarez throughout the College World Series. Tremendous performance by her, and to me, it's very well deserved that she is the player of the tournament and the player of the Women's College World Series. Now, I have to mention the lineup. Jocelyn Otto today was 2-for-3 and hit that massive home run to get things going. She also hit the two-run home run in Game 2 yesterday to help Oklahoma bounce back. So Jocelyn Otto deserves a lot of credit. Oklahoma takes also the all-time home run record in women's softball. So they cleaned up, right? They took down a bunch of records in the process on the way to their championship, and they deserve so much credit. So I wanted to start off the show by giving those ladies a lot of credit. I also want to mention, too, and I think it's important to mention, that the time slot they had to play partially was because, weather happened earlier in the week. But this championship game should not have happened at 3 o'clock on ESPN. There's no excuse for that. These ladies deserve better. For them to battle all the way and have to play at 3 o'clock on a Thursday, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, there could be a lot of fans of the schools out there who had to sneak watch the game, you know, while they're at work and put it on their computer or phone, whatever it is. The fact that fans may not even have a chance to watch the game because they were working a 9-to-5 is unfortunate. And I thought everybody involved deserved better. I thought the ratings were showing that, look, this is something that people want to watch. It's been electric. The softball has been great. The kind of play has been great. We've had so many dramatic moments from Florida State's, you know, being the comeback kids to Alabama's no-hitter perfect game with Montana Fouts on her birthday, to Odyssey Alexander's stellar play, to Oklahoma breaking the record, and G. Juarez and Jocelyn Otto and Tiare Jennings. I mean, there have been so many moments that have deserved attention and I think have gotten it, but today they could have done a better job. They could have spaced out the games or I thought played more games towards the beginning of the tournament to ensure that we were in a spot where, you know, towards the back end, everybody got to see the best, play the best in the best time slot, in prime time. And we didn't get that. And we didn't get it because of poor scheduling, in my opinion. And I know people would say, well, you know, the NBA playoffs are going on. No, there's no excuse because you could find ways to make it work. Television, they always find ways to make stuff work. It's very much possible. And so for them to not, for them to not have that happen. I mean, I believe the NCAA track and field championships tonight are on ESPN2. And also ESPNU is available too. So, I mean, all of these happening, I think just because it happened on ESPN, you know, doesn't mean it happened at the right time, right? That's not enough. Happening on ESPN is not enough. These ladies deserve the right time slot, not some matinee game. Not saying the game itself was just some matinee game, but the fact that it was in a matinee kind of situation, that was unfair to them, I believe, for the most part. So congratulations to Oklahoma. What a performance. Hopefully we can get maybe Chris Plank on the show here coming up soon to discuss it and break it down, give us his thoughts. I know he's losing his mind right now, so we'll give him maybe a week or so to decompress, and then he can come on and give us his thoughts on the Sooners, a team that he called from start to finish. By the way, if you guys do not follow OU Athletics, go check out their page. They've got a couple calls from Chris Plank, the play-by-play guy for the Sooners, and they're tremendous. His energy is great, and it's just it's a joy to watch him, and it's a joy to watch these ladies play because it was fun. It was a lot of fun, and OU had to earn it every step of the way. They did not make it easy, like I said, but eventually they won the national championship. Credit to them. Also credit to Lonnie Alameda, the coach of Florida State, an Oklahoma graduate. So, there's pretty interesting subplot right there. But, yeah, congrats to the Sooners. Let's take a break. We come back. Everybody's favorite topic, playoff expansion. Quick pause in today's show. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends at Made In. How does your favorite restaurant consistently make such delicious food? The answer? High-quality kitchen tools from places like Made In. If you're serious about cooking, you should invest in your kitchen tools. Made In's cookware and kitchenware products are used by thousands of the world's best chefs. I have tried their pots and pans. They are fantastic, and you will love them as well. If quality and craftsmanship is important to you, you should check out Made In. Made In is a cookware and kitchenware brand that has worked with renowned chefs and artisans to produce some of the world's best pots, pans, knives, and wine glasses. Right now, Made In is offering our listeners 15% off on your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. This is the best offer you will find anywhere, so take advantage of it today. Go to madeincookware.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off your first order. That's madeincookware.com/lockedon, promo code Locked On. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is the best place to find affordable parts for your car or truck. They've got thousands of parts from hundreds of manufacturers available at RockAuto.com. Best of all, the prices are always low and the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. All right, let's discuss everybody's favorite topic, and that is college football playoff expansion. So I talked about it a little bit on yesterday's show, but this is kind of the formal conversation that we're going to have about it here. And I'm going to read a little bit here from Dan Wolkin from USA Today. I know people don't love him, but this is just, you know, just kind of stating the facts here. So the proposal is this, and this was made by the College Football Playoff Committee. It was made from Bob Bowlsby, obviously commissioner of the Big 12, Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and Notre Dame Athletics Director Jack Swarbrick. So those are the people that came up, at least officially, with this proposal. Now, I think we all know that there are a lot more people who are involved in this process, but those are the kind of the people that were presenting. And so what they are presenting is this. It is a 12-team format. So there are, once again, 12 teams, six automatic bids for the six highest ranked conference champions. So you'd figure that the six highest ranked conference champions are probably going to be amongst the Power Five. So, you know, the SEC champion, the Pac-12 champion, the ACC champion. Now, the College Football Playoff Committee is going to rank them. So still, though, it does leave the door open for other conferences to get in. So the six highest ranked the conference champions are going to get automatic bids. The next six bids are at large, and they will be selected by the committee. So it's going to be a little bit confusing, right? Because you're going to have to sort through the teams that are champions, that aren't champions. You know, it's basically going to make it a bit more challenging when we're doing the same crap that we do every single week. But it will make it much more fun. Notre Dame, for those of you wondering, not included in a conference. And Jack Swarbrick was asked about that today. He said, I look forward to you know, people not complaining about us and I have to play an extra game, because the other part of this proposal is that the top four seeds, so the four highest ranked conference champions, are going to get byes in the first round. So functionally, 5 through 12 are going to be the teams playing in the first round. So you'd have eight teams playing, four games going in the first round. The quarterfinal would then be eight teams, because obviously you're adding in those top four, semifinals, and then championship. The semifinal and the championship are going to be played at neutral sites. The quarterfinals, as of this moment, are scheduled to be played at neutral sites. The first round, which would not include the top four seeds, are going to be played on campus. And so this was talked about, and I'm wondering if this will change at all, but this has been discussed. The idea that, hey, we should have those games on campus. And I think the top four seeds should play their first games on campus, even if they do get a bye, because it's not fair to them. You know, you don't get rewarded. Sure, you get a bye, but you should also have a reward of getting a home game as well to get to the semifinal. I think that would be really good. Then you can have your bowl atmospheres. I think they just want to make more money, as much money as possible with those bowl games. That's why they do the quarterfinals like that. But I really think they should do the first two rounds, which are four games and then four games. I think those first eight should be played on campuses. If you're going to do 5 through 12 on campus, why not do 1 versus 8, or, you know, whether it's going to be 1 versus 8 or 1 versus 9, or, you know, 5, you know, 4 versus 12, whoever it is, right? I think there is no reason why we should not do those games on campuses. It makes a lot of sense. I think it would be better for the players. I think it's a situation where, you know, it'd be more fun to see those crazy atmospheres for a playoff game. And look, we already have beatdowns as it is. I don't think it would contribute too much more to that. It would be actually nice to see some of these beatdowns with a crowd, as opposed to a beatdown, you know, at a half and half stadium where it's half fans one side, half fans the other, someplace that's, you know, miles and miles away from the actual campuses. So that's the format that we're looking at right now. That is what's been proposed, and it's expected that they are going to approve that next week when they meet. So they're meeting next week. It is believed that they will approve this. Then I'm curious to see if they adjust that at all. I really am curious to see if they adjust what they have going on right now. This is what Dan Wilkins says, quote, "As the flaws of the 14 model have revealed themselves to us since its debut in 2014, playoff expansion not only makes sense, but was pretty much an imperative to juice more interest in the sport. Given how stubbornly college football's old guard held onto the BCS for years, and despite the mounting evidence that a playoff was needed, the fact that it's going to triple in size is less than a decade, and less than a decade is nothing short of remarkable." I agree. I kind of agree with that point that Dan's making there. "There's a lot to like about it," he says. "We're going to get real guaranteed playoff access for at least one team for the group of five. We're going to get at least first round playoff games on campuses. We're going to have room for a team that loses a couple of games because its star quarterback got injured, but is clearly one of the best teams in the country at full strength. We're going to have a better non-conference games earlier in the season because losses aren't going to be penalized as heavily by the selection committee." So I agree with all of those points. Let's take a break. When we come back, I kind of want to give some of my thoughts on this situation as a whole and kind of how it came to pass and where I'm at with it. But first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, Locked 15, for 15% off at builtbar.com. All right, so let's start off with the things that I like about it. Number one, I like the fact that it's going to expand. I am a fan of expansion. I did not expect 12 teams. It is really funny because working for SiriusXM, man, this is something that we kicked around every single week. Always talking about playoff expansion. And so for it to kind of come, and it came pretty fast here. I was pretty surprised that we got to this point this fast. So to see it happen, thumbs up on that. Number two, what I love about it. Campus games. That is excellent. So good to have. Love the fact that we're going to have games on campus, like I already talked about. Three, a group of five team is automatically going to be included. At least one, right? If you're going to take the top six highest ranked conference champions, then that means that, there's only five power conferences, right? So if Georgia is sixth, but Alabama wins the conference, right? They're not getting one of the top six seeds. It's going to go to somebody else. And with only five Power Five conferences, like I talked about, that leaves one of the group of five is going to get somebody in. They're going to get a team that is going to make it. I like that. Something else that I really like about it is the fact that it is giving a chance for maybe even at large G5 team again. I definitely think a team like a Cincinnati, right, could get in, or a team that's, you know, second ranked in a conference like that, or a strong Boise State team 1 year could make a run and get a spot like that. I like the fact that it opens up at-large spots, a lot of possibilities, in my opinion. And also, like Dan Wilkin mentioned, it allows for teams to move around some extenuating circumstances, right? I think you can make an argument last year that Oklahoma would have been more competitive in the playoff against a team like Alabama than Notre Dame was. And Notre Dame played actually pretty close, pretty tough, right, in that game. But I think if you watch at the end of the year last year, right, Oklahoma worked through that early adversity and, in my opinion, was probably one of the four best teams in the country at that point. I mean, nobody was playing better football late in the season than Oklahoma was. So I like the idea that teams like that are going to get their shot at the college football playoff. I like the fact that those teams now have a seat at the table, have a chance to get in. I really do. I really do like that. Things I don't like. Number one, you know, the Notre Dame rule, it's fine. It's whatever. You know, it's going to be more money for them if they kind of get in. So everybody kind of laughing at Notre Dame and saying, hey, oh, you know, they don't have to, you know, they're not in a conference, so they can't qualify for a top six bid. Yeah, but they're still going to make more money in the college football playoff, you know, by playing those extra games, I'd presume, from a situation like that. Number two, there's no date on when the implementation would happen, right? And something big here, and I'm going to read from what Nicole Auerbach tweeted. She says, CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock said that the earliest the format could change would be the 2023 season, though the working group did not figure out an implementation date to go along with its proposal. If a 12-team format gains support in the coming weeks, the next pressing issue is timing. Would the CFP negotiate with the ESPN during its exclusive window to expand its current before its current contract expires in 2026? Or would it rather wait to go to 12 after the 2026 so it could create a bidding war with multiple networks? These are questions that members of the management committee will say will need to be answered in the coming weeks and months. Look, the NCAA, I mean, I think their smartest move, I bet they could ask them, hey, can we expand it for 2023 through 2026? That's where I would go with this, if possible. I would say, all right, let's expand this for 3 years with you, ESPN, and until then, we'll see where we are after the three. But if I'm ESPN, I'm saying, okay, we'll give you guys the early expansion, but you have to extend the contract. So there's a whole lot of jockeying that is about to take place. I find it hard to believe that the college football playoff is going to leave the four-letter network, especially with the SEC on CBS no longer being a thing. I think it just makes a lot of sense that now they'd move on from that and we'd move towards, we're going to kind of continue to have ESPN and Disney dominate that landscape. I think that's where it's going to go. And I think, you know, the way that they gobble up properties right now, I mean, the way that ESPN is just trying to get, you know, their hands on as much stuff as possible, I think they definitely keep that. And yeah, I would not be surprised. And look, this might be crazy. I would not be surprised if we see college football playoff games on ESPN Plus. I think that's definitely something that could come down the pike. If they have the exclusive rights to it, you know, what's going to stop them now? You can say, well, what's stopping them from doing it now? But I think if you expand to more playoff games, you know, once you talk about a 12-team playoff, in that situation, four in the first round, four in the quarterfinal, two in the semis, one in the championship. You know, at that point, you have now expanded to a place where you're at 11 total games, right? So I could see some of those early round games being on ESPN Plus or something in terms of high quality college football content moving to ESPN Plus in the future. So kind of to get back to the part I don't like, you know, I think there is some vagueness here. And once again, this has to be ratified by all the conference commissioners, I believe. And I'm forgetting right now off the top of my head when that meeting is set to happen. But that is something that we should watch for there. So the contract situation is what I'm beginning to look at for that in terms of, you know, what I don't like. I still don't like, things I don't like is that there's no change in kind of how the College Football Playoff Committee is going to do its rankings. I thought maybe with playoff expansion, they'd adjust how they would do it, you know, in the sense of, you know, maybe they seed them in terms of, you know, almost like assumed conference champions right now, and they put, you know, kind of a next list to go with it too. I don't know, but I feel like maybe some criteria could help, could really help them to the 12-team playoff. Because I promise you this, no matter what happens, 12, 4, 8, 64, whatever it is, there is going to be, 64 maybe not, but there is going to be some hand-wringing and there's going to be some complaining about how these teams are selected. And I feel like now that you go further down the line, the more that we are going to get some of these really arbitrary conversations about, oh, who is better than who, and you know, it can be a bit easier at the top to pick between two teams, right? It can be a bit easier to select Notre Dame over A&M. In my opinion, that was a relatively easy choice. Once you start getting to a couple two-loss teams and which one should be in and which one shouldn't, and, you know, I'm thinking about maybe SEC here, a couple transitive wins, right? One team beat this team. You know, think about, you know, maybe you think about three SEC teams, right? A&M, Auburn, and LSU, and all three have beaten each other kind of in a circle, and then you know, they all lost to Alabama in addition to that, too. I feel like we're going to kind of have the similar conversations, which is fun. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. But I think those kinds of conversations are going to continue no matter what, which is, once again, fun, but still something I see on the horizon. Last thing I want to mention, for the Big 12 conference, you know, let's talk about it from a Big 12 perspective. If you look at the college football playoff rankings at the end of last season, let's see, I'm going to pull them up right now. At the end of last year, I know for a fact that we would have had two Big 12 teams in a 12-team playoff last year, right? Two Big 12 teams would have made the college football playoff last year. It would have been Oklahoma. It would have been Iowa State. They would have both made the college football playoff last season. Iowa State ended up at 10th. Because your conference champions would have been Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. Oklahoma would have been in automatically. Cincinnati would have been your fifth team. And then your sixth team would have been, actually, in this situation, this is the final ranking, so I'm not sure it would have been the same at the time, but UNC, Coastal Carolina would have been your sixth team. And you go the rest of the way, Notre Dame, A&M, Florida, Georgia, Iowa State would have been fifth right there. So they would have definitely found themselves in that situation. Now, once again, I know it's not always the same, but, you know, kind of think about this 2019 too, right? How many teams from the Big 12 conference would have made it at that point? You would have had Oklahoma in there, and you would have had Baylor maybe knocking on the door at 11-3 with a chance to get in too, with how they were considered at the end of the season, right? Those two losses that they had to Oklahoma. So maybe they would have been considered. And once again, this is counting the Georgia game, but before the Georgia game actually happened, they were, let's see, week 10 of the rankings. You know, Baylor would have been in there. They're right at the 12th spot, right? I'm trying to find all the way. The rankings is kind of messed up here. Let's see, week 16. So this would have been counting the championship games. So at 11-2 for Baylor, they would have been 7 right there, positioned to get in. This is back now in 2019 we're going to. So Oklahoma obviously was in the playoff in 2019. Baylor would have been in the playoff as well. You have to think they would have been in there. So I think it's definitely a good opportunity for the conference, because if you look at where Big 12 teams have been sitting in the past, And if that's any indicator of what's coming in the future, there are going to be plenty of opportunities for Big 12 teams to make it. So kind of going back and kind of ending off on one thing that I like. Still a lot of questions to be answered. Was not able to listen to that press conference that happened today. Going to be doing a lot of reading tonight to figure out about it and kind of furthering this conversation more tomorrow on Friday's show. All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.